This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Wednesday, the 24th of June, 2026, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Global equities are mixed after a weaker U.S. session. At the latest close, the S&P 500 is down 1.4% and Nasdaq is down 3.3%. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 is flat, while Switzerland's SMI is up 0.2%. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 is down 0.9%, and the Shanghai Composite is up 0.1%. In currencies, 1 euro buys 1.136 US dollars, and 1 US dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. Brent crude is down 1.3% at $76 a barrel, and gold is down 1.6% at $4,065 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Staying with that market move, what's driving this latest bout of fragile investor sentiment?
Hi, Daniel. Well, investor sentiment remains fragile after a tech-led sell-off shook markets on Tuesday. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index fell nearly 8%, Nasdaq slid 2.2%, and the S&P 500 ended the day 1.4% lower. Korea's Kospi then swung between losses and gains on Wednesday after falling 10% a day earlier, amid pressure across chip stocks. Concerns about tighter monetary policy from the Federal Reserve, along with questions over how sustainable the AI trade is, have dampened risk appetite. Investors are also looking to Micron's earnings later today for a read on the health of the memory segment, and shares of Cerebras fell around 10% in late trading on Tuesday after it issued an annual sales forecast that disappointed investors.
And given that backdrop, why do you think investors should see this as a correction within a stronger rally rather than a break in the trend?
Yes, and that's the key context. Without taking any single company view, we think the latest correction should be considered against the backdrop of the strong rally this year. Both the Kospi and the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index are still around 90% higher than at the start of the year, while Nasdaq is up 23% since the end of March, when there were first signs that the U.S. and Iran were open to ending their conflict. With traffic through the Strait of Hormuz now picking up and geopolitical risks subsiding, we believe the resilient macroeconomic backdrop and robust fundamentals should continue to support corporate earnings growth and markets more broadly. So while we remain confident in the AI growth story, we also expect the next phase of gains to come from a broader range of opportunities.
Picking up on the AI story, why do you still think that part of the market can keep moving higher?
Absolutely. Continued growth in AI capex should underpin further gains in the AI-led part of the market. First quarter results confirmed that hyperscalers remain committed to heavy capital expenditure plans. We expect overall AI-related capex to rise by 68% year over year in 2026 to around $820 billion, followed by a further 21% increase in 2027 to roughly $990 billion, with upside risks to those estimates. Those are substantial growth rates, but they are taking place in an environment where demand for AI tokens continues to outpace supply. Cloud growth at the major platforms accelerated to 40% year over year in the first quarter, with reported advance orders for compute resources totaling $2 trillion. So we believe the rally in AI-linked stocks can continue to support the overall market.
Right. And beyond AI, where could the next leg of returns come from?
Well, we think the rest of the market also has the potential to contribute. A resilient U.S. economy, a solid labor market, and strong credit creation could all help support earnings outside the AI complex and allow the rally to broaden further. A supportive consumer backdrop should help underpin consumer discretionary stocks. The recent pickup in the ISM Manufacturing Index points to improving conditions for industrials and other cyclical parts of the market. And the relative resilience of the healthcare sector suggests it can play a role that is larger than just a defensive allocation. We expect S&P 500 earnings per share to grow by 20% this year and by 12% in 2027 as well.
And what about outside the US? Where do you see the most compelling opportunities?
Good question. We also expect the rally to continue beyond the US market and see compelling opportunities globally. Asia offers an attractive combination of strong earnings growth, AI leaders, and undemanding valuations, and we expect MSCI Asia ex-Japan earnings to rise by 72% this year. While we continue to see opportunities in the region's AI hardware supply chain, we also see underlying strength beyond technology and scope for gains to broaden as energy flows normalize. We also like Japan's equity market, which offers diversified exposure to the global AI supply chain, a cyclical recovery, and ongoing corporate reforms. In Europe, we see opportunities in industrials, healthcare, and consumer discretionary, and we favor companies with resilient earnings, exposure to global demand, and structural growth drivers.
So, with narratives shifting so quickly, what does that mean for investors and for portfolio construction?
Well, we remain constructive and believe investors should stay invested while keeping diversification at the center of portfolio construction. The past few months have shown how quickly narratives can shift, how costly excess cash can become when markets move higher, and how single stock selection represents both an opportunity and a risk.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. A key move we're watching is the renewed strength in the US dollar. The dollar climbed to a 13-month high this week as investors rotated into the greenback during a sell-off in mega-cap stocks. The DXY index traded as high as 101.5, its highest level since May 2025, while Euro-USD slipped to a one-year low of 1.1356 US dollars for 1 euro. Markets are now pricing a 36.3% chance of a 25 basis point Fed hike in July and a 69.1% chance by September, up sharply from a week earlier. Pressure has been less acute on the yen, with USD JPY steadying near 161.55, helped by market concerns over intervention risks. Our view is that improving US data and a more hawkish sounding Fed have supported the dollar in recent weeks, but we think this latest FX move reflects risk-off sentiment more than any repricing of the Fed outlook. With the breach of the 1.14 level in Euro-USD, the next major area of downside support is likely around the 1.12 area. Even so, we believe long US dollar positioning already appears stretched, which should limit the potential for further significant gains in the currency. We also expect structural headwinds to re-emerge for the dollar later in the year as rate expectations normalize, and we continue to view rallies in the dollar as a chance for investors to diversify their US dollar exposure. Another development we are watching is progress in US-Iran talks and what that could mean for Gulf credit. Talks in Switzerland have made progress toward a broader agreement, with the US waiving sanctions on Iran for 60 days from Monday and tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz picking up. The two sides agreed on a roadmap toward a permanent agreement within 60 days and opened a communications line to help ensure safe passage for commercial ships through the strait, according to Reuters. That matters in particular for Gulf Cooperation Council economies, whose access to international energy markets has been impeded by disrupted shipping. Kuwait and Qatar rely almost entirely on the strait for exports, while Saudi Arabia and the UAE can use existing pipeline infrastructure for part of their production. Roughly 13 million barrels a day of output has been shut in across the region, and a durable reopening would allow hydrocarbon-related activity to recover in the months ahead. Our view is that the progress in US-Iran talks is encouraging for Gulf assets, even though the durability of any agreement still needs to be tested. The Middle East has seen several episodes of heightened geopolitical tension in recent years, but historical evidence suggests spread widening in GCC bonds is typically short-lived because local investors provide stability. GCC credit spreads followed a similar pattern earlier this year, briefly widening in March as tensions escalated before tightening back to pre-conflict levels. We continue to prefer quality and favor instruments from higher-rated issuers. From a country perspective, we currently see the most opportunities in Saudi Arabian credit, reflecting the agility and resilience of Saudi Arabian issuers in a shifting geopolitical environment, as well as relative value considerations. We also see better value in instruments issued by companies and banks than in sovereign debt. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.